John 18, verse 37. These are pretty familiar verses here. John 18, 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And he went, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So I'm just going to do kind of like a little study on truth this evening. So let's go ahead and start with our word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we can come and read your word. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to love and honor you in the things that we do. Help us to apply ourselves to your word and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, I just thank you for the freedom that we have, that we can gather here, read your word, and worship you. Lord, I just thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, help us to live our lives to be pleasing to you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so in this section here, Jesus is come before Pilate. He is facing a mock trial, and he's come to Pilate. He's been brought before Pilate, and Pilate is essentially questioning him and trying to figure out, all right, what is it that he is here for, and why is he being brought by these Jews? And he asks him some questions, and then Jesus brings up truth. Jesus brings up that he is come that he should bear witness unto the truth. And then Pilate, it doesn't say how exactly Pilate says this. I guess you get to leave that up for your own interpretation. But he says that, says, ask Jesus, what is truth? But then it doesn't look like he ever bothers to get an answer to said question. He just throws out that question of, what is truth? Now, I mean, I'm sure you've probably come across times where somebody's giving you that whole question, like, oh, I'll throw out this question, and then, you really thought I wanted an answer to that question? No. I don't like what I'm hearing, so I'm just going to say, yeah, what about this? Or what about that? And then you try to, like, if you try to answer the question, like, no, I'm not listening to you. I didn't actually want you to answer that question. It's almost put like a rhetorical question, except for the fact that it kind of wasn't. So Pilate kind of does this to Jesus. He says, what is truth? And then as soon as he has said this, he turns and walks away. Not realizing, and maybe he did realize a little bit, but certainly I would think not realizing fully that he's standing in front of the very person who could give him that answer of what is truth. That's literally the best person to answer that question for him. But he didn't stay around long enough to hear the answer. And he then goes on to tell Jews, like, hey, I find no fault in this guy. I don't know what you're doing here, but I see nothing wrong with him, even without that answer to the question of what is truth. So, Pilate asked this question to Jesus. So I want to look at kind of some different aspects of truth. Start off with, what is truth? And let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, 6. Again, kind of the obvious answer to this question. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. First thing we come across here is Jesus says, hey, I am the truth. The truth is wrapped up in me. I am where you find the truth. I am the truth. And Pilate had the unique opportunity of standing in front of the truth and asking, what is truth? that amazing opportunity to say, hey, right here, laid right in front of you. But Jesus says, hey, I am the truth. If you need to find out what you need to know, if you need to find out what is right, what is true, look to me. He says, I am the truth. And Jesus has been, this is most of the way through John here, and he has gone through Israel, speaking truth to the children of Israel. And again, the people of Israel who are getting the truth literally from the source of truth. And they said, yeah, no, we don't want any part of that. Most of them. Now, not all of them, but a lot of them's like, no. And the truth was staring them in the face, speaking to them, and they said, no. And again, Pilate, same way. Nope, I don't want the truth. Ask about it. Theoretically, looking for it, but they're not accepting it. Now let's look at 1 John 5:6. We'll start in verse 5. It says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now here God throws in, hey, not only is Jesus the truth, so is the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is also the truth. And we have, if we are Christians, if we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we have the truth within us. Amen. It's right there for us at any time we need, any time we want to say, hey, I need the truth. How do I find it? Well, we've got Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, right there. They are the truth. Now, let's go to John 16:13 as well. Another place on this. John 16, verse 13 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now here, we have the gift of the Holy Ghost. If we've trusted Christ, we've got the Holy Ghost inside of us. And God says, hey, you know what? You have someone in you who is going to guide you into all truth. Yep. Now, that being unlocked is up to us. Because if we don't search for the truth, if we don't come looking for the truth, God doesn't just cram it down our throats. We've got the free will to say, hey, I know we literally have the truth living in us, but if we don't access it, it doesn't do us any good. And there's so many different examples of different things that, hey, this could be so much good for you, but if you don't use it, if you don't use it in the way it's supposed to be used, not only can it not be good for, not give you the benefit, it could be harmful to you. And God says, hey, I've given you the truth. I've put the truth in you. All you've got to do is go look for it accept the truth when it's put in front of you. Say, all right, I believe that. And trust that the Holy Ghost is going to lead us into all truth. All right, let's look. Turn one more page over. John 17, verse 17. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, here is now the physical incarnation of truth that we can have in our hands, that we can read, and that we can learn from. And God has gone, God gave us Jesus Christ, God gave us the Holy Ghost to dwell within us, to manifest the truth in us. But then he didn't stop there. He said, all right, I'm giving you the written word of truth that we can go to anytime. And thankfully, we live here in this country where we literally have access to it anytime you want. We've got the physical book copy of the word of truth. Got it on, you get it on your phone that most people have on them all the time. It's always available. And God says, hey, here is the word of truth. Thy word is truth. We have it. It's right here laid out for us. And through the word of truth, that's how God says, hey, you are to be sanctified through truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we have this truth laid out for us if we'll just embrace that and trust in it and say, hey, God, I need your truth. I want your truth. Show me what you have for me. And God is quite happy to show us the truth that he has for us if we just come looking for it. Again, he's not going to cram it down our throats. He says, all right, you have the free will to come find it, but if you come looking for it sincerely, I'm going to give it to you, and I will show you truth. Let's look at Psalm 119. A couple of verses in there, just a couple of verses are on this. Psalm 119, verse 142. Psalm 119, 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. He's just lost the word I was looking for, but just showing more and more, hey, I have the truth for you. My commandments, they're truth. My law, it's truth. It's the truth that you need. It's the truth that we need for our daily life. It's the truth that everyone has needed throughout life here on earth. God's truth laid out in this book here. Let's look at John 8. Sorry, I'm flipping around a little bit this evening, but John 8, start at verse 30. And it says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a verse that is very well known, even in secular circles. Many people know that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But what's contingent on that is the verse before it. He says, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth doesn't make us free until we continue in the word of God. And when we continue in the word of God, that's when we know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. So, people try to get the truth and the freedom that truth brings without going to the source of the truth and finding out what that truth is. It's like, oh, I'm searching for the truth and it's going to make me free. But wait, I have to read that? I don't want that. But God says, hey, if you continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples. Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We've got to continue in that word. We've got to continue in the word of God. Search out the things of truth. So that's just kind of a small synopsis of what God says. Hey, this is the truth. Here's what you need. So let's look at couple other things. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at some of the things that truth is for us. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start in verse 10. Again, some very well-known verses. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So here we've got what's known as the armor of God. And this is our protection in our Christian life. This is the armor that represents a soldier going to war. Back then, copied after the Roman soldier's garb. And it's what he wore in the battle to protect himself. And God says, hey, the very first thing you need, the very first thing I'm going to tell you is gird your loins with truth. You need the truth for your protection. If you don't have the truth, we're going to get swayed. Now, if a soldier goes into battle and he doesn't have his armor. Now, back then, they did whole hand-to-hand combat. I'll tell you what, if that would not be my cup of tea. I don't want to go into physical battle, period, anyway. That's totally not me. But I sure don't want to go hand-to-hand combat. I'd be dead in a hurry. Maybe I just turn around and run. I don't know. I'll manage that way. Although not right now. I'd be dead pretty quick anyway right now. But if a soldier decided to go into battle, into hand-to-hand combat, and decided, you know what? I'm not putting on my armor today. I don't need it. He's not going to fare very well. There's no way. And honestly, even more so for us, as we go into battle in our Christian lives, if we don't decide to put on that armor, we're not going to fare very well. If we don't have that truth, the Word of God, protecting us, the devil is going to say, ha! All right, let's go. Got you. Because we're going into battle without the necessities for battle. And God says, hey, I've got this set of armor for you. You need the truth. That's our first thing. So, truth. God says, is girt about our loins for our protection. And that's what we have to have in order to live our Christian life the way God wants us to do, and not be assailed by all the things that are coming after us, because there's plenty. So much is coming after us. So the devil would love to just bring us down. That just would love to do so. And he's going to have a whole lot easier time if we don't have that. We don't have our loins girt about with that truth for our protection. Let's look at 1 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1. First Peter 1, verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you unto the at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now here, Peter says, "All right, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind." Says, all right, so in Ephesians, it's like, all right, I want you to gird your loins with truth. But not only that, Peter says here, I want you to gird up the loins of your mind. That extra protection for your mind being the truth, the Word of God. That truth is, again, what keeps our mind from being swayed every wind of doctrine to who knows what. It says, gird up the loins of your mind with truth. That truth is what can protect us. Protect our mind and keep us from giving in to the things that get thrown our way. And there's so many different aspects and different ideas that the devil will throw our way, and he knows which ones will get to us best. He knows which buttons to push. If you have siblings, I'm sure you know which buttons to push. Just get into the skin, right? I know I got a few, but you know, find the button, and just, yeah. Devil knows what will get us. And if we don't have the loins of our mind gird up, he's going to get us. So, truth is our protection here. One other thing to look at on the protection side of things, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Now, the shield and buckler, those are both defensive protection for us. Now, the shield, I mean, you can look up different things and find different things on the shield and the buckler. Most of it is your shield is your big, big protection to hunker down and behind and protect yourself against projectiles thrown your way. Truth is that. It can shield us for things that we can't even see coming at us. Things that we don't know are coming our way. That we would get broadsided by. The devil said, hey, I'm going to sneak this in from way back here. But if we're down behind that shield, truth, that truth that can be that shield for us, that can ward those off. But then you've also got the buckler. Now, the buckler, most things you can find, is a small shield worn like this to kind of protect against as you're going into that hand-to-hand combat. Now, that's a fun little shield, because not only can it be protection, you can use that as a weapon too. You can take that. That's kind of a dual purpose, that buckler. That we can go in and go into that hand-to-hand combat and say, all right, I'm coming at you. I've got this protection that I will bring at you, and it will protect me. That's the word of truth. That's that truth. I know that this is right, and I know that I can trust it. That is a massively important thing for us to realize. Hey, know what you believe in and know that it is true. Because if we're not firmly cemented on that, it's going to come back and haunt us. It's going to get to us. We're going to slip off. We're going to fall off from behind that shield. If we don't know for sure, hey, this is my protection. I know this is right. And that's the word of God. It is right. It is truth. No question about it. And that is what we can trust in to protect ourselves against the spiritual army that's coming our way. Let's look at Psalm 51, verse 6 now. So truth, we've looked at the things that God says, hey, this is truth. And then the protection that truth can afford to us. Let's look at some of the things that God wants us to do with truth. He says, verse 6 of Psalm 51, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. We should hide the truth in our heart. We hide God's word in our heart. We memorize the word of God. We think about the word of God, and that instills that truth in us. And that's why, hey, God desires us to have that truth in the inward parts. That the truth that permeates our being says, hey, I have this. I know I have this, and I know it's right. No doubt about it. I've got the truth. It's in me. I have what I need to fight the fight that God wants me to fight. And we're all in a fight. Maybe some of us aren't front center, front lines, it feels like. We're maybe on the wings, but we're all in a fight. Sometimes it's going to get hit more difficult than others. Sometimes maybe there seems to be a lull, but we're in a fight. And we have to have the truth in that fight. There's no way around it. Nothing that can change that fact. That we have to have that truth. And God says, hey, I desire truth in your inward parts. Get that truth in your heart. Hold on to that truth. Cling to it. And know that, hey, this is what I need for my protection and to be what God wants me to be. Let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah 8, verse 16. Zechariah 8, 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. So here he talks about, all right, so we are hiding the truth in our inward parts. We've got the truth in us. Now, take that out to the people you deal with. Speak truth to the people you come in contact with. Be truthful in your dealings. Don't be the reason that somebody says, I'm not doing business with a Christian. Do you have any idea what they did to me? How they snowed me? Don't be that excuse for somebody, because they'll take it a step farther. So not only will I associate with them, I'm not even going near God because of them. And we can be somebody's, in their mind, perfectly reasonable excuse for not coming to church, for not trusting Christ as a Savior, for not reading the Word of God, because they look at us and say, hey, they weren't truthful. I don't want anything to do with that. Now, I mean, that doesn't excuse them, but we don't want to be that person's excuse. Somebody that they point to and said, hey, he's the reason. They're the reason that I don't have anything to do with God, that I don't come to church. They're the reason. Another one on that, Ephesians 4. Somewhere. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He again reiterates this, hey, we got the Old Testament one of it, New Testament too. Speak truth. Be truthful in how you deal with the people around you. Make sure you show that truth. And if you've got the truth hidden in your heart, if you've got that truth in your inward parts, far more likely that you're going to have that truth flowing out of you. All right, so let's now look at Isaiah 59. The ramifications of not having truth. Isaiah 59, verse 4. He says, none calleth for justice, nor any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Jump down to verse 14. It says, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. When we fail to have the truth, when we fail to speak the truth and show the truth to others, when truth, as God says here, has fallen in the street, God looks and says, it displeased him. When we don't have the truth shown to the people around us, when we don't speak the truth, when we don't exalt the truth, God looks at it. It's like, what happened? What happened? We are created for God's pleasure. We are created to bring God pleasure. And God says, hey, that displeases me. That literally goes against the entire reason you are here. That's how important God sees it. Like, we've got to have that truth. We've got to show that truth to others. We've got to deal in truth. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4, verse 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Now, that sure sounds like where we're at now, this country. We need to be the exception to that rule. We need to be the ones that are saying, hey, that's not everyone here. We have the truth. We are showing the truth to others. And again, if we have the truth and we don't show the truth, it doesn't do anybody else any good. It's essentially sitting here festering in us. My junior church, several years ago, put the analogy of burnt toast. They all seem to remember that analogy. It's like you get the truth. You're in that toaster, and if you just sit there and hold on to it, and just keep going, you suddenly end up being burnt toast and not good for anything, because you aren't giving out that truth. You aren't showing that truth to others. It's not doing any good to anybody. Like, well, I don't need that. We just stay stuck in the toaster and become burnt toast. But the truth that we have, we've got to show it to others. We've got to speak truth to others and bring glory to God through that. One last place, Romans 1. This is a chapter that essentially shows the path down to apostasy. And here is part of it, verse 25. It says, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the Creator more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, where most of our country is going, well, that of our country who even pretends to try to have the Word of God, they're changing that Word into a lie. And the amount of people who are left that don't is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And again, if we're not in that truth, if we're not keeping that truth in our inward parts, we're not having that protection of the truth and trusting in that, we're going to keep slipping away from the truth, man, to get to the point where we change that truth into a lie. God says, we don't get there right away. It doesn't just all of a sudden happen. Oh, look, I'm just going to decide the Word of God is nothing. It's a slow, typically a slow progression. But it starts, but we've got to keep that truth in our inward parts. We've got to keep that truth in front of us. Realize, hey, we have the truth in us. We just got to go to it. Tap into that truth and trust it. Know that God knows what He's doing. Jesus Christ is the truth. We've got the Word of truth right here in front of us, accessible for us anytime. We just gotta go to it, go to that well, and get that truth. All right, that's all I had on that. So, anyone have any questions?